You know, the human body has a few vital organs that are absolutely necessary for us to stay alive. But none of them can function unless there's one very vital organ present, and that is the human heart. In an article titled Heart Trivia, How Much Blood Does Your Heart Pump Each Day? It's written by Adam Pick and is published on heartvalvesurgery.com. Your heart pumps, guess how many gallons a day? Not that you have this many gallons in your body, but, you know, keep circulating the amount of heart that you have. It's 2,000 gallons a day. So over a lifetime of, say, 70 years, that's 51,100,000 gallons pumped by that, you know, heart of flesh in there. Your heart sends life-giving blood throughout the body and to its other organs. As I say, you can't leave home without it. You know, it's interesting that in Leviticus 17:11, you can turn there if you wish. I'm sure some of you know it. 17:11, Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. You know, a couple of interesting thoughts here, of course. Of course, Jesus Christ gave his blood, you know, for remission of our sins, and so we could live forever, God willing, you know. We could have eternal life. But there's life in the blood, you know. As soon as that little heart beats and the baby's in the womb, there's life there. And thank God for his promises of the resurrection. You know, when all the babies that didn't make it will be alive and firmly believe. So anyway, God created an amazing pump inside of you. It's so much more, though, than just a pump. And we'll get into a little bit of that later. Of course, it would help if you had a brain. If you don't have a brain, you don't even know you have a heart. Did you know that the heart actually sends signals to your brain? And your brain then responds to what comes from your heart. In Science of the Heart New, Exploring the Role of the Heart in Human Performance, an overview of research conducted by the Heart Math Institute, there's an article or a section in there titled Heart-Brain Communication. That's at heartmath.org. So I'm going to read you this quote. Traditionally, the study of communication pathways between the head and heart has been approached from a rather one-sided perspective, with scientists focusing primarily on the heart's responses to the brain's commands. And remember, I was just telling you, sometimes it's the other way around. We have learned, however, that communication between the heart and brain actually is a dynamic, ongoing, two-way dialogue, with each organ continuously influencing the other's function. Research has shown that the heart communicates to the brain in four major ways. So this is the heart communicating to the brain. You know, you think with your brain. Something else, I hope. Neurologically, through the transmission of nerve impulses, and your heart communicates to the brain biochemically via hormones and neurotransmitters, and biophysically through pressure waves, and energetically through electromagnetic field interactions. They've actually measured some of these things with their equipment, so it's a scientific research outfit, not some, you know, crystal ball kind of an outfit. Communication along all these conduits significantly affects the brain's activity. Moreover, our research shows that messages the heart sends to the brain also can affect performance. So, you know, I pretty much thought for years that the brain operates independently from the heart, that's where, you know, kind of everything we do first starts. So I didn't think there was a connection between the heart and the blood that it pumps and what our brain does. But I think I was wrong. The heart actually communicates with the brain, and I think that's pretty cool. You know, God speaks about the heart often, and he speaks about our thoughts often. You know, the word for heart in the Old Testament, and I believe it's H3820 and also 3824. It's used figuratively according to Strong's. It's a Hebrew word. I think it's lab, phonetically L-A-B-E. The heart is used for a wide variety of feelings, for the will, and even the intellect. And there are several other things there, but I'm not going to read you everything Strong says about it. And the other 3820 says the heart, the most interior organ, is also related to courage and to the mind and things like that. So that's just a brief definition of what the Hebrew words for heart mean, or the words for heart in the Old Testament. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 6:4 and 6:5. Probably scriptures you're pretty familiar with. Deuteronomy 6:4 and verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, we talk about love a lot in the heart, and what we've got emojis that you frequently see a little heart symbol, you know, attached to an emoji to symbolize that you love something. Of course, this goes a lot deeper when God says, love me, you know, with all your heart. He's not talking about an emoji, brethren. These verses are also known as for being part of the Jewish Shema, S-H-E-M-A, and considered to be the centerpiece for their morning and evening prayers. That's at myjewishlearning.com, myjewishlearning.com. You know, that's not a bad idea. Let me read that again here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Great way to start out your morning and end your evening. You know, I'd like you to write down this point. It's the first of three main points that I'm going to go through today. You know, God is the ultimate cardiologist. God is the ultimate cardiologist. Well, what's a cardiologist? A cardiologist is a physician who's an expert in the care of your heart and blood vessels. They can treat or help you prevent a number of cardiovascular problems. They can also specialize in specific areas, such as abnormal heart rhythms, heart failure, or heart problems you've had since birth. You know, perhaps maybe we've had some spiritual heart problems. Somewhere I read that, you know, after we're converted, God puts a different kind of heart in us. Removes a heart of stone and gives us a softer heart, a heart of flesh, symbolically. You know, there is a scripture that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now remember, we just talked about this outfit, heartmath.org, and how they say the heart communicates with the brain, and sometimes the other way around, and it's sort of, they work together. So, you know, maybe there's a little more than we know about. You know, God created an amazing being when he made human beings. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's Proverbs 23, if you turn there with me. Proverbs 23 and verses 6 through 7. Proverbs 23, 6 through 7. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. Why are we going there? Well, you'll find out in a minute. Verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The Believer's Bible Commentary makes an interesting comment. That's the Believer's Bible Commentary. Another social situation to avoid. Don't be a guest of a man who has an evil eye, a miser who begrudges you every bite of the food you eat. It's what he thinks and not what he says that counts. For while he is saying, help yourself, have some more, eat and drink, he's actually counting every spoonful you take. So I guess you could say this miser's being disingenuous, I think is the word. And you don't want to be that way with God. You know, in your prayers and your thoughts, you need to be genuine and sincere. God knows that a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, when the offering basket goes around on the annual holy days, and you drop your offering in there, and you smile in church and everything, are you really, really cheerful about it? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Or are you kind of stingy in your heart and, you know, thinking, "My, maybe I should have given a little less or something." I don't know, whatever. But God knows, you know, what you're thinking. And that comes from your heart, comes from your center. It's deep inside of you. There's many, many situations, you know, where, you know, what you speak is not always necessarily what you are really thinking deep down inside. In other situations, it's pretty obvious. But God knows what's in your heart. He's the ultimate cardiologist. He knows what signals our heart and our brain are sending back and forth in spite of what we speak with our lips. You know, we sometimes say to someone, oh, what you really mean to say, which may or may not be true. And it kind of bugs me when somebody says that. You know, but anyway, only God knows what we really mean to say. When I say something, I know what I mean, and some people assume that, you really mean to say this or that. God knows what we mean to say. He knows what's in our heart. Let's look at Jeremiah 17:10. It's one of the reasons I said that God's our ultimate cardiologist. Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah 17:10. We see this kind of heart-mind communication thing again, right? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, have you ever heard of heart monitors, you know, that they put on you after you've perhaps seen a cardiologist or had surgery or something like that? You know, God's placed a spiritual heart monitor in us, and he continues and continually keeps an eye on the health of our spiritual heart. This is what I mean when I say God's the ultimate cardiologist. You know, we all know how important a healthy physical heart is. However, we must understand that God is most concerned with the condition of our spiritual heart. Isn't he? So no matter the condition of your physical heart, God wants to see what your spiritual heart is like. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You know, God searches or examines our hearts and knows if we have a heart condition that's dangerous to our spiritual health. Don't you want to know if you're going to suffer a spiritual heart attack if you don't take care of something in your heart toward God? King David was really good about asking the ultimate cardiologist for a heart checkup, a spiritual heart checkup. Knave's Topical Bible states the word heart here means the seat of the affections. In the scripture I'll give you, and there's many others where that's the essence of what the word means. God wants to know if the seat of our affections, our heart, is with him or somewhere else. So we could ask God, are you the seat of my affections, you know? How am I doing, God? Give me a spiritual heart checkup. Psalm 139. That's Psalm 139 and verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. think we even have this psalm, these lines in one or more of our hymns. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, anyway, I'll get to this later. But you know, quite often God was not happy with the results of his examination of Israel's heart, his searching ancient Israel's heart. Deuteronomy 5:29. Look at Deuteronomy 5:29. God wants us to have a healthy heart. He wants us to have a fruitful, wonderful life, both here and hopefully in eternity. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You know, I wonder if he says that about us sometimes. We already have a one-up on people God has not called. We have his Holy Spirit. We have that heart he's put into us. But, you know, do you want to cruise through life now? You know, everything's good. Nobody's sick. None of my loved ones are suffering. I've got a job, I got a house, and I got, you know, things are good, you know. I must be right with God. That's perhaps when it's the most dangerous and you really need to ask God to do a heart checkup on you. What would God's diagnosis be of your current spiritual condition? You know, I'm not saying anybody here is Lucifer, okay, don't get me wrong. But what was Lucifer's mistake? He was the most powerful, the greatest archangel. And he was beautiful, perfect in every way. That's how God made him. He's just skating along, and pretty soon, he just thought he was the bestest thing out there in the universe. And he let pride get to him. He let pride get to him. If God had done a diagnosis on him, if, you know, I'm not saying the angels asked God to do this, he would have found wickedness in Lucifer's heart. And he did, eventually, as you know. So, point two, God's diagnosis of our spiritual hearts. Point two. We don't want to get to that place, you know, where we fall. And we don't want a diagnosis of pride and rebellion against God. It's not doing things his way. You know, when God places his stethoscope on our heart, will he hear a healthy spiritual heartbeat, or perhaps a heartbeat that indicates something's wrong and not right with your spiritual heart? God wants to hear a strong, healthy heartbeat, indicating you have a pure heart. Let's look at Proverbs 22:11. Proverbs 22:11. And there's like 775 verses with the word heart in them in the Bible, so don't worry, we're not going to go through all of them. But I am going to give you a few, I think, that drive home the points that I'm making. That's Proverbs 22:11. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. Can you think of a king you would like to be your friend? We took the posters down. Used to have a big poster up here that said King of Kings. I'd like him as my friend, you know. He's the friend of those who have a pure heart and speak with grace. God wants to know there's nothing interfering with your spiritual heartbeat, causing your heart to weaken. I lost count how many times in my life I've chosen to do things my own way and ignore the diagnosis of a dangerous condition. It's something we have to continually work on. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 28:9, a father giving some great advice to his son or sons that applies to fathers and sons today, mothers and daughters. 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. That's just washing your hands of him, not wanting to repent of your mistakes, and just from here on out, forsaking God, doing things your own way. So, we don't want to get to that point. I don't want to be cast off by God forever, so never hurts to ask God for a heart checkup so you don't end up in that place. I guess you could say you get involuntary heart checkups, whether you like it or not. But God likes it when we want him to search our hearts, you know, as we read about King David. We should want God's help in making our hearts righteously healthy. You know, God says, this is, you know, scripture we well know, that our carnal heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. I'll read to you the New Living Translation, Jeremiah 17:9. You don't have to turn there. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So, you know, we have God's Holy Spirit, and those who obey God receive his Holy Spirit and hang on to it. So even though, you know, we aren't completely carnal and we have that Holy Spirit, we can still come up with some pretty rotten stuff from that carnal nature. We still fight, just like Paul told us. And why do I do these things? To do what I would not will to do. We're pretty good at deceiving ourselves sometimes, justifying things that deep down inside we know we really shouldn't think or do. It's that deep down inside place, talking about your heart. Maybe in one of God's heart checkups, he finds a dangerously high amount of plaque clogging your arteries, which could lead to heart failure. He then gives you a diagnosis of having a condition known as a proud heart, which I alluded to a little bit earlier. Get the paper part here. Proverbs 21:4 is an interesting scripture if you want to turn there. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. You know, we see a lot of this today in the world, in politics, in entertainment, in sports. Just after a while it gets pretty disgusting. But anyway, Proverbs 21:4. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. So we don't want this proud heart condition that's referenced here. The Forerunner Commentary says, that's the Forerunner Commentary, the relationship between pride and sin is easily seen, but none seems to exist between either pride or sin and plowing. What's with this plowing stuff? However, there is a link. Solomon is saying that just as surely as plowing precedes the produce of the earth, so does pride prepare the way for the produce of sin. Excuse me for a sec. I'll wet my whistle. So it sounds like this might happen when we do things our own way without following the big doctor's orders, the ultimate cardiologist, or following his directions. You know, perhaps we've been taking in the world's food, speaking of carnal ways, you know, equivalent of bad cholesterol, instead of eating the bread of life, consuming God's word, and living it, not just reading it, memorizing it. Living God's word. There's a scripture about that. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And a little slower. Remember, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. One of the scriptures, Matthew 4:4. Maybe while God is checking out your heart and laying that stethoscope on your chest, you know, he's leaning a little close, you know, he notices you've got really bad breath. Why am I saying that? Well, let's look at Matthew 15:18. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. And we read in James about the tongue and whatnot. You know, it can say some pretty rotten stuff, showing what evil was in our hearts sometimes. Let's say your cardiologist gives you instructions on exactly how to care for your heart so you don't get a heart attack. And you tell them or her they don't know what they're talking about. I don't care. You've gone to medical school. You've been a cardiologist and performed all these procedures. And I don't think you know what you're talking about, cardiologist. So you do as you please and wonder why you get a heart attack. If you survive it. You can't, you know, wonder why you got a heart attack if you die from it. So isn't that what we do sometimes when the greatest cardiologist in the universe gives us precise and exact instructions for living a full and abundant life and living forever? Proverbs 21:2, I mentioned this a few times, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 21:2. So this is what we do when we ignore his instructions. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So we do what's right in our own eyes instead of what's right in God's eyes. But the Lord weighs the hearts. He knows whether we're doing what's right or not. And when he weighs the hearts, I don't think he's talking about figuring out how many pounds or ounces our heart weighs, right? Maybe he's looking to see how honest we are being with him and ourselves. He already knows. He wants you to admit how honest you are being with him and others. You know, when God is diagnosing our heart condition, there's a few things he's looking for, and you've probably already figured out some of those things. I mentioned earlier the Hebrew meaning of the word heart that is most often used in the Old Testament. The heart is the seat of affections. If you went in for a physical or heart checkup with your primary care physician, and he or she reads your EKG report or stress test and checked your heart rate and blood pressure, you know, it's just hang with me for a minute. This stress test, okay. I turned 40 and I was having chest pain. I thought it was the big one. So I went in to see my primary care physician, and he ran me through the stress test. And he said, there's nothing wrong with your heart, son. And you're going to have trouble with your stomach the rest of your life. So that wasn't good news. But anyway, he said, there's no problem with my heart. I was having heart pains. Well, I found out from a chiropractor it was, you know, something in the middle of my back that was out from a microfissure crack in it or something from years before. Man, he just gave me the right treatment, and I was good as new. No more chest pain. I never knew that something in your back could cause, you know, something to hurt in the front of your chest. So here we go. It'd be pretty amazing and a bit disturbing if your doctor said, congratulations, you have a broken heart. You'd probably be taken aback, wouldn't you? The doctor, gave you that exam. Great job. You've got a broken heart. That's what God's looking for in you. This is a spiritual heart condition he wants to see in us. Psalm 34:18. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. So a little bit of a segue to the next point. And, you know, before I go there, how do we know that we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit? I don't think God is telling us, I want you to crawl under the bed and eat worms. That's what my dad used to tell me when I pouted. You know, you give way to others. You give up self for the benefit of others. There's scriptures in here about that, but a whole nother sermon. You give yourself a lesser station in order to let someone else go before you or have something that you need, you give it to them. You make a sacrifice. And you admit to God that maybe you're a very skilled person at something. You know, most people have a particular skill. Were you born with it in your DNA and you just, because you're so wonderful, you have this skill. You know, every good gift is from God above. You're the best in the world. You know, God allowed you to get there. And he gives all the good gifts and the skills that we have. We develop them, we work, we participate. God makes it possible. All right. New Testament word for heart. From the Greek word, cardia. I know it's pronounced cardia. Mr. Walker, if you're listening, I'll have to ask you how that's pronounced properly. So, in the New Testament, it says the heart, that is, the thoughts or feelings. In the Old Testament, it meant the seat of affections. Pretty close. This can also be translated as mind. And I think some versions or translations of the Bible, some of the New Testament scriptures talk about heart. They say mind instead. So let's suppose the most recent heart examination God gave you indicates you need a prescription that will improve the health of your spiritual heart. So God, the ultimate cardiologist, right? He's given you an examination. He's given you a diagnosis. And now you need a prescription from him. So you'll get better. God's prescription for our heart, that's point number three. God's prescription for our heart is point number three. You know, we need to ask God to fill the prescription you need in order for you to please him with the desires of your heart. You know, look at yourself. What do you desire? Okay, evaluate what you did during the day or what you wished you did. You know, was it the result of fulfilling righteous desires or maybe just really weren't thinking about it? Sometimes a day goes by pretty fast and I don't think about, you know, God, did I meet your requirements today? Are the desires of my heart proper in your eyes? Well, we should ask and pray daily for God to create a clean and pure heart in you. And I love this psalm. And I try to remember it often. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We don't want that heart full of that spiritually dangerous stuff that can make us lose our eternal life. We want a clean heart. And of course, we want a steadfast spirit, so we keep staying on course and ask God to keep it clean for us, to help us stay on top of it. You know, what did Jesus say in the New Testament? What did Jesus say? Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So ask God to fill your prescription that helps you have a blameless heart and to become holy as He is holy. Ask God to fill your prescription that helps you have a blameless heart and to become holy as He is holy. As somewhere it says. Let's look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verses 2 through 4. Psalm 101, verses 2 through 4. I think I'm still, I'm using the New King James Version. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. You know, really got to watch what we watch on TV, because I think it's about 99% vile these days. Be careful. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. So, you know, we could go to God and ask Him to fill that prescription, to help us to have a blameless heart. And when we conduct the affairs of our house, our family, and be with our brethren and neighbors, to conduct our affairs with a blameless heart. God can do that with us and for us, with our cooperation. So ask God for a prescription that removes any wicked way or perverseness in your heart. You know how antibiotics remove an infection. They fight an infection. God can give us the best antibiotic ever to take any wickedness out of us or perverseness. We make that choice. Ask God to give you a prescription to help you have a humble heart. Do you know who else had a humble heart in the Bible? A very famous person. Christ had a humble heart. Shouldn't we have the same heart? Matthew 11, 29. Matthew 11, 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Boy, was he humble in heart. He left the number two position in the universe to become half flesh. Obviously, he was fully a human being. You know, but the Father brought him into this world with the Holy Spirit. He left it all behind. God created everything through him. And he came to die for the sins of God's creation. As humble as it gets, completely gave up his life and suffered horribly for all of us. But you know, I really like this part at the end of this verse, Matthew 11, 29. Let's read it again, the whole verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, you know, are you stressed these days? Are you stressed about the news, about things that aren't going well? He says, you will find rest for your souls if you take his yoke on you. He's gentle and humble in heart. So shouldn't we be? And you know what? I like finding rest for my soul, don't you? No matter what we're suffering from, or our loved ones are suffering from, or disasters in the world, we can find rest for our souls in God and in Jesus Christ and in doing what they ask us to. So, I'm going to wrap it up. In conclusion, God is the ultimate cardiologist. In fact, he is the greatest cardiologist in the universe. He searches our spiritual heart, and he knows exactly what we're up to, even if we don't. We can ask him, help me to know. Where do I need to make a course correction here? How can I take better care of my spiritual heart, Lord? Number two, second point, ask God for his spiritual diagnosis of your heart's condition. It's kind of what I just made. But you know what? You've got to accept his answers. I don't like that answer. You may not like it, but you need to ask God to help you like it, to understand it, to follow his advice. We have the Bible, we have a ministry, we have our brethren in the church. You know, we just talk to each other sometimes. There's actually some brethren full of God's Holy Spirit that can really help you, you know, with some good advice. And we have our ministry, the real wonderful resource that we need to go to. We're all one body. But our primary source, of course, is God. And help him to give us understanding and a diagnosis of our spiritual heart condition. Now, number three, ask God to fill the prescriptions you need for a healthy heart that beats for God. And for those of you looking for a title, somebody always asks me, this is it. Does your heart beat for God? So take the prescriptions God gives you and follow his directions instead of winging it on your own. Even though your physical heart may not be in the best shape, you can have hope in God, giving you the health, the healthy spiritual heart you need for eternal life. Because that's the end game, folks. I know it's actually not going to be an end game. You live forever. But anyway, he will give you the spiritual heart you need for eternal life. Focus on his advice for that all-important, healthy spiritual advice and follow it and live forever, my friends.